We're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're only going to do one verse in Hebrews, then we'll go back to Judges, so that's okay. Last week, we examined the faith of Rahab the harlot. And Rahab, a harlot in Jericho, seeing the children of Israel and that they worship the true and the living God, she received two spies out of Israel, and she received them in peace. She saw and observed that there was something different about these Israelites. And these two spies, they were not like her fellow citizens there of Jericho. And so Rahab, she befriends these two spies. The king of Jericho, he comes to her and he questions her about these spies. And she lies about hiding them away from the public. Now, Rahab was not sensitive to the ways of God or the sins around her. After all, she is a harlot there in Jericho. And she's in a process of believing in the God of Israel. And I've heard sermons on how Rahab should not have lied to the king, and I agree with that. But Rahab lied, but her actions were to protect these newfound allies or friends in Israel. Sometimes we're tempted to lie for things we think are good, or we call them white lies. But let me give you an example. Your wife comes to you. Does this new dress look good on me? Be careful, husbands. It's a trap. If you say yes, that's fine, but if you dare to say no, you could be in trouble. But as best as you can, be discerning. And if you can, stay neutral. Perhaps you can answer, that dress isn't the best possibilities for you. Or flat out lie. No, dear, that dress looks great. And you can find yourself in the company of Rahab. I can't find fault with any husband who tells a white lie about the dress or behavior of his wife. Now, you have one other option. You can escape, go running out of your house like your hair is on fire and never touch the issue. So, but how we answer a question sometimes can determine a lot about us. In our court systems here in the United States, the attorneys are not allowed to ask questions where there's no right or wrong answer. Like, do you still beat your wife? You say yes, you're in trouble. You say no, you're in trouble. It's one of those questions that attorneys are not allowed to ask. Now, Rahab is not condemned in Scripture for her answer to the king of Jericho. So let us read verse 32 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David and Samuel, and the prophets. So we have a list here. And that list starts with Gideon. The writer of Hebrews is referencing people who the Jewish people are familiar with. They know, they've heard stories of these men that Hebrews is referencing here. And the in this one verse, we have six different men who exhibited faith but had bouts of unbelief and failures in their lives. But we're going to look at Gideon. Israel has done evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord sent the Midianites to prevail against Israel, and they have prevailed for 7 years. Israel would grow crops, raise livestock, but they would be raided by the Midianites and the Amalekites, who would come and take their produce and take their livestock, leaving nothing for Israel to eat. Israel resorts to hiding in dens and caves, and the resulting condition in Israel is great poverty. God hears the cries of his people, and he sends a prophet to them. So turn with me to Judges, and we'll be in Judges. So Judges chapter 6 is where we want to turn to. Give you a second to turn there. Judges 6, verse 8. That the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of those who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." God was faithful to deliver Israel out of Egypt. But he told Israel, don't fear the gods of the land where I'm going to send you. And God has this against Israel: you have not obeyed my voice. Now, this happens to be a pattern of Israel, especially as they leave Egypt and they are sojourn and they dwell in the land of Canaan now. But Israel would fall into sin. God would deliver them, usually through some man of faith. And God uses men of faith like Gideon. In Judges 11:16, we read more of the story. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizite, which the son of Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Now, Gideon has several questions here. One, he says, why is this plague of poverty upon us? What is going on, Lord? You spoke to our fathers and you told us of the miracles of deliverance when you brought them out of Egypt. But now, Lord, it appears that you have forsaken us into the hands of the Midianites. But back in verse 1, Israel has done evil in the sight of the Lord. Many Christians in today's world have concerns and questions about the course, the path of America. Many conservatives are wondering, where is the good old days of the USA? Where are we headed, Lord? But let me propose to you, the U.S. has done evil in the sight of the Lord. Maybe not us, but perhaps our government. And any of us who have any age on us, any amount of years, can remember the days, what we would call days of innocence in America, when evil and sinful behavior was not the order of the day. But there is an agenda in America today that is evil. The family unit is being attacked. Abortions continue to take thousands upon thousands of lives every year. Homosexuality is becoming more and more the norm. LGBT, the tearing down of sexual identity, seems to be the program of this new administration. And it appears that law and order is a thing of the past. We have police departments in some cities that are being defunded. And that's a popular goal in some liberal cities. In Washington, D.C., there were Capitol riots. But when other liberals rioted, they were called protests. Terminology. And we can find ourselves in need of God's correction, just like Gideon was told of. And notice God looks for his people to turn from their sinful ways and turn back to him. If there's anything that we should learn from the past elections or anything else, turn to God, not to man. But this angel of the Lord, he finds Gideon, and Gideon is there. He's threshing a little wheat for bread, and he's doing it in a wine press. He's hiding to thresh a little wheat. And the angel greets Gideon with, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And I'm sure Gideon's looking over his shoulder saying, "Who are you talking to?" But God calls Gideon to service. He says, "Go, Gideon, in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Gideon has a reply. "Who am I to save Israel?" He says, "I'm from the smallest tribe in Israel, and I am of no reputation." But God says to him, "I will be with you, Gideon, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." It's not who Gideon is, but who is Gideon's God. And we need to see that when God calls us into service. The question that seems to be upon us as Christians in America today is, where do we stand up for righteousness? Where do we take a stand? And the persecution of Christians is becoming more and more open and obvious to see. Who would have ever dreamt that Christian churches would be told how to worship and when it's permissible to worship? And this is done by the state. We've seen a great move against the Christian church in our worship of God. Gideon, he's heard the voice of the angel of the Lord, and he has questions. "If you, God, have spoken to me, show me a sign." Let me read verse 17 through 23. "Then he said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign, that is, that you who talked with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread and ephod of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put for broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of his staff, that which was in his hand, and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die. It was thought that you would die if you saw God face to face. Gideon, he wants to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And he says, Mr. Angel, don't leave. You stay right there. I'm going to go prepare this offering and bring it back. And the angel says, I'll wait. And he does. And Gideon goes to prepare the offering. The angel of the Lord receives this offering and consumes it with fire. And this was a sign of acceptance by God if he consumed the offering by fire. But Gideon understands, he says, this was the angel of the Lord. He has seen the Lord. He's seen what many of us think is Jesus, a Christophany, and he assures Gideon he's not going to die. Gideon goes on and he builds an altar to the Lord. But Gideon also, he tears down the altars that are dedicated to Baal. Now, the men of the city who worship Baal want to kill Gideon for destroying the Baal altar. And they go to Joash. This is Gideon's father. And they said, we want your son. We want to kill him. But Joash says, hey, hold on a second. Let Baal plead for himself. If he's a god, let him defend himself. He says, for Gideon has done a good thing. And we read how the Spirit of God is upon Gideon to unite Israel. Gideon has stepped out in faith. But Gideon still has question in his own heart and mind. Gideon has the angel of the Lord confirm that his offering was accepted. He consumed it with fire. You've been accepted, Gideon. But Gideon also was obedient to tear down the altar of Baal. But there still lingers doubts in Gideon's mind if he is the man God will use to save Israel. I have found in my own life, God does not mind confirming his will or his word to me. Gideon is seeking confirmation. So let's read how Gideon will now present a fleece before the Lord. And that's in verses 36 through 40. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry all around the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. And when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung out the dew out of the fleece, a bowlful of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with this fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but all the ground around it let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on the ground. Gideon has took a lambskin, a fleece, and Lord, if you have chosen me and have spoken to me, make the fleece wet. And it was what we would call sopping wet. It was dripping wet. Then Gideon reverses the scenario in his mind and before the Lord. And this time he said, "Let the ground be wet and the fleece dry." And it is as Gideon requested, just the way he wanted, God has performed. And this is enough proof for Gideon for him to obey God. So how do we approach fleeces today? I've heard it says we have the Holy Spirit. We don't do fleeces before the Lord. And I understand that, and I can agree with that. But this fleece being wet and dry is enough for Gideon to be convinced that God is with him. But when I desire the Lord to confirm his word to me, I ask him one thing. Do it any way you want, Lord. Just do so in such a way that it's plain to me and I see your will. I don't try to tell God how to do it. And another thing, I've heard people put out fleeces where they want the circumstance to be in their benefit. Well, how do you have circumstance be in your benefit? Well, Lord, I want to buy a bass boat. Now, when I approach this guy about the bass boat, I want you to make that price extremely low. Then I'll know it's you, Lord. No, no, no. That's asking for God to do your haggling for you. That's sort of what I would call cheating. I once was trying to sell a vehicle, and this fellow that was looking at the vehicle, interested in buying, he says, "Well, I'm a Christian, so lower the price of your car that you're trying to sell to me." I said, "I'm a Christian. Why don't you give me more money for it? Because I'm a Christian." Two-way street, right? He got quiet on me. So, when we want God to confirm his will to us, ask God to confirm it in a way that will make it cement, that it will bring it down, make it a real word from God to you about what he wants you to do or say. Try not to put yourself in a position of benefiting from God's confirmation. Know this, God wants us to know his will. He's not trying to hide his will from us. He wants us to know his will. Look how patient God was with Gideon. Knowing Gideon needed confirmation, and God gave it to him. So, with that, ask God to confirm his will to you. He will. I've had God do things as with like Gideon to confirm his will. But all I ever ask God is, you confirm your will to me, any way you desire. Just get my attention about what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer.